So I guess part of the reason why you came to mind was because a lot of what's been talked about recently for us in the temple community is the connection between, I guess, creation, manifestation, mm-hmm. and being in the body. And I know you talk about that in terms of being in the cosmos, being in the body. So, yeah, I would love to hear more about your understanding.
Well, first of all, I really have a problem with the word manifestation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, well, then if you do this and you be that, then you can manifest whatever you want.
Mm.
And again, it goes to this thing about the cosmos being a lunch menu,
mm-hmm.
and that all you have to do is do something in the right or correct way.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, all your dreams come true,
mm.
and then you float along the path to happiness.
Mm.
And, you know, that's just not reality. It's not what it means at all. Creation, the creation that you can and are able and have the abilities afforded to you by the fact that you are part of the cosmos, is something that's always done in connection with the cosmos, because we are here to create of the cosmos. So that means with the cosmos, if you will.
Yeah.
The fact that we feel that we ought to be able to wave a magic wand and summon up something that we think we want is something only that of the mind. And that's exactly why we don't have this ability, because when we're in our minds, if we start creating from there, then the planet's going to be even more fucked up than it is now, clearly. I mean, that would just
be
mad.
It would change every 2 seconds as well.
Yes. No, I got this and this. And of course, when you were sort of acting from this, well, I can manifest whatever I want,
mm.
then you're automatically in a state of control.
Mm.
You're trying to control. So you're completely absent of your power. You're completely disconnected from who and what you are. And therefore, you're completely out of your body. If you were in your body and hearing and understanding and feeling the energy, and also hopefully also connecting with the energy of your soul, you wouldn't have a desire to suddenly click your fingers and I'm going to manifest this and I can do it because, you know, I've been a really good student, or I'm a special person and I can manage to do this and this is what gurus can do.
Mm.
You know, this is just... it's just nonsense, and worse than that, it's insidious nonsense, which has been pushed into our consciousness by those who simply do not wish humanity well. Because if you want to steer people away from the power that they really are, what will you do if you're very clever? And those that do not wish as well are certainly that. They will immediately come in and give you all sorts of reasons why it would be a good idea to take you off course.
Mm.
So there's this focus then on manifestation. You say, what does that mean? I mean, when you think about it, these are words and actions that magicians use.
Mm.
You know, manifest. You are a manifestation of something. In my understanding, we are a manifestation of the energy of the cosmos.
Mm.
All we're doing here is having an experience, being in our bodies, of what the cosmos is doing. And when you have that understanding and you're happy to be with that, then you can start creating. But other than that, every time you see the word manifest or manifestation, please, please, please run away. Because it will take you off your path.
Mm.
It's not. It's completely self-serving, isn't it? It's completely self-absorbed. And what we're supposed to be doing here, really, is understanding that, yes, there is the self, but that self is a part and parcel of everything else.
Mm.
And that when we allow ourselves to seize control and step into that, then we can really feel everybody else and everything around us. And then that guides our actions, because we're having an experience in our body of who and what we really are and who and what everything else really is. And that energy then informs the mind, which then gives you the opportunity to make a choice, because, of course, the mind is simply an organ of action. But we've been taught and consistently use it, and loads of people who think they're very spiritually aware go straight to the mind and use it as the guiding principle. But all the mind is there to do is to help you put into action the energy experiences that you've first taken into your body. And when you do that correctly, then what happens is that then your body then experiences the energy of that, shall we say, correct action, because it's not being led or driven by your mind. In other words, your past experiences, because that's all that you're ever going to get out of your mind, you know, your past experiences. And then the energy that goes through your body then is then becomes a very powerfully healing energy. But if you don't make a connection with your body, first of all, which is what all of us do until we rigorously train ourselves not to do that. When babies are born, the first thing, or they are in their body totally, that's why they're so happy, even though they have no, you know, outside power. Or that's what we think anyway, because they're just completely within their energy. By the time we're three or four, we've been told enough times to stop being stupid, think that through and so on. And we just get right back into our minds again.
Yeah.
And we completely miss the first and most important part of our energy communication, which is first, everything comes into your body. Then you can access your mind. Exactly. And then you will be responding or re-spending your energy rather than reacting or re-enacting a part of your past or a part of what it is that you want to do or control or manifest. And so that, for me, is how the body plays this part. So the it's a matter of making a choice to really feel in our bodies when something, when we first experience something. And lots of people will say, well, I do that. But lots of people are completely wrong. They don't. I can see it. They go straight to their head because, of course, that's how they've been trained. Yeah. And then they go to their body. So their head, their mind, is informing their body of what they're feeling. And so they'll get into a state of panic or deep distress or depression. All sorts of other manifestations of this, because they're taking and seeing whatever is happening and whatever their experience is and running it through their head, so that it's running through all their past programming and all their previous experiences, this lifetime, many other lifetimes.
Yeah.
And then all the reactionary states and their body experiences. And then they say to themselves, huh, you see, I was right. My body's feeling like this. And so that means I'm now going to give myself permission to fight back or tell that person what they can do.
Yeah.
Or me, 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 me. It's all about me.
Mm.
Whereas if you allow yourself to actually feel what your body is feeling.
First of all.
Then your energy, because it's part of your soul energy, obviously, as well, will give you some ideas, some images, some feelings, some knowing, some sensing. And then you can reflect on that. And sometimes you'll reflect on it for a minute, or sometimes you might reflect on it for a year or even longer. And when you finish reflecting, then you can allow that energy of understanding to be utilized by the mind into how you're going to action that. Mm. How are you going to action that? And then when you do that, the energy that you then experience is of profound healing in one way, shape, or form or another. And then you are understanding that we are here to have a whole series of experiences which we experience first through the energy of our body. Then, as we become more and more consciously aware, we take that energy and turn it into best action, most compassionate action. Then we have that healing experience in our body, which then emanates out for everybody and everything else. And so the cycle of, which I refer to as the love pattern of reality or your soul pattern of reality, that's what you're creating and that's what you're in. If you're not doing that, then you are creating non-love, non-soul pattern of reality. However marvelous your mind might be telling you, you are being. However marvelous your mind is saying, oh yes, but you're just repeating these words which all spiritual people understand to be wisdom and knowledge. Because a lot of the time, of course, that's just simply not true. So rather than manifest, which is all me, 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 why not open yourself up to create? And then you are totally in connection with the heart of the cosmos from whence you came. You're totally in connection with yourself because you are the heart of the cosmos. And what you will create will be something that is of benefit to all. And then that produces joy. is what could be more glorious, you know. And again, it's like watching toddlers run around. You know, they're all screaming with laughter because they haven't been told yet that they're being idiotic and they need to start thinking things through.
And look at themselves from outside of
yes,
themselves.
Yes, exactly. And they're just going, and they're just totally in the moment.
Mm.
They totally understand what creation is because
yeah.
they're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just running around laughing their heads off because it's joyous. It's so much easier. And if we can just let go of this attachment to I must be special, so therefore I can learn these techniques and become conscious. Well, you don't have to learn anything. We're all actually just remembering. That's all we're doing. You already know everything. It's in your energy. You know, it's part of who you are. All you need to do is remember it, but not remember me, me, me. Remember the entirety, the whole of who you are, and the understanding that joy comes from essentially being of service, being of your compassion. Because when you are of your compassion, when you are of your love, when you are of your soul energy, when you are of your joy, that's what you want to do. Don't you? You just want to you just want to share it and spread it.
Yeah, automatically, exactly.
And you, that's all you can do,
yeah.
because that's how your whole system is now wired.
Mm.
And you understand that compassion, profound compassion, is actually the care of another superseding your own immediate needs. I don't mean all the time. We don't want a whole series of martyrs running around. Obviously, that would be a nightmare. But in an emergency situation, or in a situation whereby you understand that actually what you would like is this, whatever this is, but you can see that somebody has greater need of it. And so automatically, without thinking, you just automatically give it to them. You automatically step in and step up and offer your assistance, or if the situation requires, take charge, because perhaps somebody else can't because they're on the floor or something else is happening. And so when we are all, just imagine how marvellous this world would be. God, it would be heaven, literally heaven, because everybody is able to see the bigger picture and act accordingly. Everybody is able to regard everybody else as their brother, their sister, their mother, their father, their son, their daughter. And when there is a situation that requires compassion, they automatically step into it. Because, of course, how can they be comfortable with themselves if they've made sure they're okay, but somebody else whose need was actually greater or suffering is actually greater isn't okay? How can you, of when you are of your profound energy, there's simply no other choice, because you know it will make you feel terrible, absolutely terrible, and you just can't do it.
There's so much, there's a deep pleasure, right, and a deep joy, and an embodied sense.
Yes, it feels intrinsically and profoundly correct.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
right.
and therefore, because you are being all of who you are, you feel safe. Because you are not acting out of anything else, any other behaviours, taking yourself into whatever mechanisms that you may or may not have picked up along the way, which will make you feel very unsafe. Why? Because intrinsically you know that you are not being the all of who you are. You're not being you. So how can you trust yourself if you witness and experience and hear yourself not being who you are?
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to trust yourself, so you're not going to feel safe. So then you'll go and act out all your behaviours in an even more messed up way all over everybody else. And that's fundamentally, of course, what's happening. And then we all start getting into an argy-bargy situation of and having conversations along the lines of, well, when you said this, I found that really hurtful, actually. Like, what, that's this person's job to make you feel better? No. It's your job to make yourself feel better. And when we take that responsibility, we soon come to a very profound understanding that the only way you can make yourself feel better is to get entirely over yourself and start allowing yourself to become of your profound compassion. That will automatically make you feel better. And then you'll be able to see your behaviours in a very loving as well as a very profound way, and they will able more and more to effortlessly drop away. because you simply don't need to rely on them to control, which is what you have been doing in an attempt to make yourself feel safe and so that you can trust yourself. But of course, it doesn't work. And that's why people still running around, they'll spend years and years and years or decades going into themselves and sorting out themselves and, yes, me, 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 I'm very, very important. And if I don't get this right, then what? The whole world is going to end or the whole world is going to suffer? No, of course not. It's just a way that we use to keep ourselves feeling important.
Mm.
When, of course, if we feel important, then that means other people have to feel unimportant. So that's an immediate separation. So therefore, that's an immediate way that you're going to feel miserable because you are separated. Mm. You have separated yourself from the whole, from the all. You're only ever going to experience misery or suffering or both or whatever. There's no joy there. Again, look at toddlers. They totally get it. They're part of everything until we knock it out of them.
Mm.
They have no autonomy, no power.
Mm.
Are they sitting around sucking their thumbs going, I'm really scared because I can't go and vote in Parliament, you know, or get a job or look after myself? No. They're as happy as the proverbial pigs because they are part of the all. And therefore, they are safe. And they witness and experience themselves being part of the all. So they know they are safe with themselves as well. But if we take ourselves out of that, we start panicking. And with good cause. You know, we should panic because that's your body energy saying, stop this, please, stop it. You know, pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. But we've been trained to go straight up into our minds. Even those, as I said, I see it all the time. People, they'll swear up and down that they never go to their minds first, but they do.
Mm.
It's very subtle.
Mm.
And you're always going to go there unless you give up this idea that you can control anything. Unless you give up this idea that power is something strong and powerful. Power is subtle and smooth and gentle and loveful, and it can change everything. It does. I've experienced it a million times. My students start experiencing it. If we don't give up control, if we don't give up this obsession with ourselves, then it doesn't matter what you're learning and what's coming out of your mouth. You are no more aware than this cushion is.
And the danger, I guess, in that is that you can keep going in that cycle for years and years and years, as you said, right?
Yes.
Trying to understand or fix or care or help ourselves.
Interfere. Yes, exactly. And even more horribly, potentially, go and help other people in this way.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how these, shall we call them, misunderstandings start spreading. They become the standard law. You know, well, no, if you do this and you follow this path and you follow these steps, then you can start manifesting what you want and you have power over the world and, you know, and everything is da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And this, of course, is just an appeal to the mind because only the mind is going to be interested in that. Your energy just goes, whoa, this is just bollocks. Please stop. You know, we don't want this.
Mm.
But essentially, what is required is a willingness to open up and experience yourself as a part of the whole.
Mm.
Yes, you have a special contribution to make, but you're not going to be able to get anywhere near that until you feel and understand and act from the understanding that you are a part of the whole,
of the
all. All of this superiority just creates separation.
Yeah.
So you just move yourself well away from having any power. That's the irony of it. Every time we start to try and control, we've immediately removed ourselves from our power. Because whatever we are, the energy of us, and whatever it is that we're trying to control, then creates a little run of, like an alleyway of energy between the two things. And because that's the only communication that's going on, all of your energy connection to everything else within the cosmos on this planet, blah, 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 simply becomes unable for you to experience because you're locked in this energy battle with you and what you're controlling. So now you have absolutely no power at all.
Mm.
And that's why it feels so uncomfortable, you know, when we're controlling. But then we get taught, well, you're not controlling the right way. Now you've got to start manifesting or doing this or that or something else.
It comes about the how.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and you're not doing it right.
Mm.
You know, well, of course, that's true because we can't do anything powerfully or lovefully or joyfully until we're being that. You know, be, then do. Not do and then be.
Mm. Beautiful. That's really beautiful.
And it's so easy,
yeah,
isn't it? Because, you know, that's the other thing. You always know, I always know, when I've been sitting with something, I'm not quite sure, and how's this going to pan out, what's going there. The moment I hear myself laughing, then I know, yes, that's what the truth is, because it's so completely easy. And it feels very joyful to be in your power and not having to, I want this outcome.
Mm.
Well, the cosmos doesn't even know what outcomes are going to be. It's constantly changing. Why would you assume that you can create an outcome when the cosmos can't, doesn't? Why would you assume that you are so important, that you are so special, that you are so superior, that you can create your outcome? You know, when you look at it like that, you can just see how idiotic it is.
Yes.
But we've got loads of us running around
trying
doing this sort
our
of
best.
New age spirituality, blah-de blah-de blahness, all spewing out nonsense and not experiencing profound joy at all, not really getting it. Such a waste of energy, such a waste of space. But fortunately, we're here, you know, in the time-space continuum to allow us to do exactly that. So we get this space through time-space, to hopefully one day begin to start looking and understanding and seeing ourselves as a part of the whole rather than this individual that is so special. And then that's why we're given the time-space, so that we can get over that, allow ourselves to be brought much more into healing, into love, into our soul pattern of reality, and then start being and doing what we're here to be and do, which is to have these experiences, which are, if you like, the straw. And then through your understanding and your awareness, the fact that you are connecting with and becoming of and being from your soul pattern of reality, you can turn that straw into gold. And so that's gold, golden energy, if you like, that you experience, but also that you're emanating out to and for everybody else, to and for this planet, to and for the cosmos. And of course, whatever you're emanating out will indeed, in some form, some shape, be returned to you. And so if that's what you're doing, you can imagine why then you're in a state of joy all the time. You know, you can have experiences of shock, horror, whatever, but they don't become part of you. It's a transitory experience. And then you go back into your state of joy and back into your state of love.
And it is simple, as you said.
Yes.
It's like you're either in one or the other.
Yes.
But the other, let's say the mind state, is so complicated. And it doesn't it? It
becomes, yes.
And there's so many solutions and ways and things you need to do. It just becomes so complex when... As you said, when you can find that returning to the true self, to love, to joy, to that natural state of being, it is simple.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, if you do find yourself, here's a problem, and then you become aware that you're going straight into your mind to find a solution, what you can do is just as you can repeat each of those solutions out loud and see how it feels in your energy.
Yeah.
And that will show you, you're probably way off course here because it won't feel good.
Yeah.
And then you can allow yourself to just, right, well, if I wasn't trying to control everything, you know, if I wasn't being the superior being, what would my energy say about this? And then start writing that down. Or you can connect up with your soul energy, same difference, really.
Yeah.
And see what that says. And if you're not sure, then don't do or say anything You know, the value of silence, of course, is being lost in this. We must have a phone and be contactable at every single given moment. And we must blah, 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 speak, 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 blah, 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 blah.
Without taking time to pause.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or even listen to each other.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we're so busy yammering on, you know, this is me, this is my pain, this is my truth. What? No, this is your idiocy, sweetie. Oh, God, please don't say that. It's not who you are. Mm. It absolutely is not who you are. It's who you've been trained to be.
Mm.
It's how you continue to be because you're acting out of your behaviours, which reinforce all the time how scared and alone you are, how scared and lonely and powerless you are because you're just running around these same behaviours. The moment that you decide that actually, whilst of course you are important and of course you're special, we're all special, we all have special gifts and special reasons for being here, but it means nothing unless you are willing to engage with being a part of the whole. And the minute you do engage with being part of the whole, you feel not just how profoundly loved you are and how profoundly you love, but you actually have a profound sense of the profound, and I keep using this word deliberately because I'm not talking about a mental understanding of this word. You have a profound experience of how much you love yourself.
Mm.
Because you can feel and see and know and understand who you really are, which is love, of course. So what are you going to do? Of course you're going to profoundly love yourself because you are love, that's it. Rather than this chasing down of this myth that before you can be of love or give love to anybody else, you first have to love yourself. What a nightmare situation. And we're seeing it being played out all the time.
Mm.
So everybody comes totally self-absorbed, convinced that they're doing the right thing
by
focusing on loving themselves. Well, that's just not going to happen.
Because it also involves like an act of will in that, isn't it? It's like a mind.
Yes,
act of,
I'm must going love myself.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And then, of course, even worse, we then start acting this out with other people.
Yeah.
You know, and we start telling them, well, you know, when you do that, it makes me feel essentially unloved in one way, shape, or form. You know, fill in the words of your choice there. And so then we start not only giving our power away to other people, we're making them responsible for how we're feeling. Because we're we're obsessed and focused on this, I must love myself.
Yeah.
No, you mustn't. Until you are able and willing to love everyone and everything else, to profoundly be able to feel your love for them, that doesn't mean accepting their shit behaviour. No, that doesn't mean making yourself a victim. But you can feel you are not cutting yourself off from the profound love that you have for everyone and everything else.
Mm.
Then you can actually love yourself, because your everyone and everything else is a part of you. So whatever you're hating or disliking or just going to another or a system or a country or whatever it might be, you're doing exactly the same thing to you, because you are that. So we've been given this perfect opportunity of having people around us who are all acting out their behavioral shit. And if you can love them, still feel your profound love for them, again, I repeat, that does not mean that you allow them to behave in dangerous or even unhelpful or unloving ways to you. But if you can allow yourself to feel your profound love for them, they'll, largely speaking, stop acting out their shit all over you, because they're not feeling your judgment. You know, they're not feeling your superiority, because you're not going, well, I don't behave like that. I think I must be rather superior to that, actually, because, you know, I just don't do that.
Mm.
They're just feeling your profound love. So it gives them, they're being given an invitation, an opportunity to drop their behaviour and actually have an experience of themselves as how they are, even if it's only for a second.
Mm.
Of course, quite likely the vast majority of people won't take you up on that particular offer, but that doesn't change the reality that you are putting out and that you are creating. And that doesn't change the reality that you are experiencing yourself as this eminently powerful being of love all the time. And then you can just let people behave towards you in the way that they wish to, because they have that right. They have the power of choice. If they want to be a complete arsehole, they can be a complete arsehole. As can you, as can I, we have this choice. You let them behave in the way that they wish to, no judgment because you are of your profound love for them. And then you can decide whether you want this person in your life or not. But judging them and then having conversations with them, which basically go along the lines of, well, here are all my judgments of you, which are completely correct. And because I'm so correct in my judgments of you, you now have to change your behavior because your behavior is making me feel uncomfortable. Mm. And so it's just a power grab, right, from somebody else. Yeah. It's one of the most controlling things that we do. And where's the love?
Mm.
Where's your energy involved in this? You know, you are now informing yourself while you're having these conversations with these other people. You are now informing yourself that you are not love, that you are not loved, that you have no power. So that's what you're going to experience. And what the other person is experiencing is that you regard yourself as superior.
Mm.
You're passing judgment on them. And hang on a minute, but are you this perfect? You know, are we not? Isn't it true that we're not supposed to judge each other because of who and what we are ourselves? Well, of course, but essentially my understanding, the reason that we're not supposed to be judging each other is because that's just another mechanism to avoid looking at our own stuff and to avoid taking us out of our compassion, both for ourselves and for others, right? It just delays the inevitable and it keeps us in that state of superiority. Well, I don't do that. Okay. So now we've established that. Now what? Mm. What are you going to do? You know, well, I'll just stand here and exude my judgment and be extra special.
Mm.
Okay, so now you've completely separated yourself. And we wonder why people are pissy with us, you know. If you pick up that you're being judged and everybody's energy, right, so they'll pick it up consciously or not, then you're going to whack that out.
Yeah.
Unless you're aware. And then you can just say, look, it's your choice, but actually I feel that you're judging me.
Mm.
It's not something I particularly wish to experience. So if you're not willing to get over it, okay, fine. But I don't want to experience that, so I'm going to take my life in a different direction.
This resonates so much with myself. I really see myself in that as well. So I'm receiving a lot from this.
Well, exactly, and that's the joy of when you're with your profound love, your profound compassion, your profound soul energy, is because you can see things very clearly and you immediately feel the benefit of it, don't you? Because you feel it in your body, because your energy is humming, because it's going, oh
finally,
God.
Yeah.
We're in love. Yeah. We're in truth.
Yeah.
This feels groovy.
Groovy. Groovy.
Really groovy, that. Man.
Just groovy to be in love.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you always have the power. If somebody's behaving to you in a way that you just don't like, and you might say to yourself, well, I really ought to be able to get over this. No, you don't need to do that. If you don't like it, remove yourself from it, and then over space-time, you can reflect on it, and you can see, is there a way through which you can reconnect with this person because you'd like to, because you've realized that your reaction to them was entirely your behavioral stuff, and see how they do. Or you might just think, well, I'm really not sure, but I just don't want to be around that person. And that's completely fine. But then you own it and you say, look, it just doesn't work for me. You know, thank you very much for the offer. Thank you for the offer of the dance of this relationship, friendship, all the same thing, right? But it doesn't suit me at the moment. So perhaps another time or perhaps not. That's it. No blame, no shame, no recriminations. Mm. Everybody's taking responsibility. Everybody's in their power. And everybody moves on and finds new dance partners. Mm. And
how do you apply this to what you talked about before we started recording, to the wider societal level? Allowing all of this mess in governments and all the industries that are so messed up. How do you allow that?
Good question. So you live as you feel. So if you feel that the pharmaceutical industry is a cartel of people who do not wish humanity well, and I'm certainly one of those people, then you simply stop using and buying and promoting their products. because that is the power that you do have.
Mm.
You can also, in your meditations, there are some on my site, you can also in your meditations connect up with very profound energy coming from the center of the cosmos and within you and withdraw your permission, which has powerful effects, very powerful effects. One of the, I think it was might have been the first sort of that type of profound meditation that I did for a radio show, and it was about stopping the fighting in Yemen when it first started. And it was a way of coalescing anybody who was engaging with this, all their soul energy, the energy from the center of the cosmos. Anyway, so that meditation went out, and then the next day a ceasefire was announced, and it held for 3 weeks. Now, of course, I'm quite open for the fact people say, well, that's just pure coincidence. Okay, maybe it is. But there is actually good scientific recording of this phenomena.
Yeah.
And so we do have that power.
Yeah.
And but we also have the power of another form of our energy, which is money.
Yeah.
Stop giving our money to these people. Stop engaging in their activities. Stop buying and reading newspapers and sites which talk about the charade that is politics. Don't vote. If you feel so disposed, get up and offer yourself as a seat. There exists in England the parish council system. And actually, until they remember this and realise and start hacking it away, it is actually perfectly possible to be involved in the running of your own community through the parish council system. So you could get involved with that. But most of all, don't allow yourself to be sucked into the panic of, unless I buy these products, I might be missing out on something, I might be doing myself or my children harm. And stand up, literally stand up for what you know to be true. And if your children are saying that they want a phone or they want to play computer games, and they're 9, 10, 11, 12, or even younger, or 13, or 14, or 15, or 16, then you just say no. Does this make you the most popular person in the world? No. But it does make you taking responsibility for the well-being of your child. We can hardly complain and whine and moan about what these companies are doing if we're allowing our children to participate in this, if we're allowing our children to be poisoned by these products, by these so-called foods and so-called medicine. And the you know, the phones and the all of the other Wi-Fi outrages.
Mm.
If we're buying into it, then you have to take responsibility for that. It is, you are part of the problem. You are a big part of the problem. And worse, you're pushing it down the line onto the next generation. Simply because you are so special that you are not willing to be thought of as odd or different, or your children to give you a hard time, or your friends to give you a hard time, or anybody else to give you a hard time, because you're special and you need people to tell you how special you are all the time.
Mm.
Well, whilst you're doing that, you have now become part of the problem.
Mm.
And the tragedy of it is, so easy to be part of the solution. You just stop giving them your money, your time, your energy, your connection, your goodwill. Just don't do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Just don't do it. These companies, these organizations, pretty much all the same thing at the end when you get high up enough, right?
Yeah.
They are powerless without your engagement. If we don't engage with them, they have nothing. But we seem to think that if we sort of half engage and half here, we sort of got, then we got a foot in both camps, and maybe, and you know, I understand, because does it feel sometimes a little bit scary when you stand out against
you
the crowd?
You break out, yeah, right? Exactly.
Yes. And when I had my son 20 years ago, I was under a lot of pressure to get him vaccinated, and they got me. You know, I'd just given birth. Fortunately, it was only 3.5 hours, so that was okay. But I'd been up all night. And they started coming in and started banging on, and because I'd done my research, I knew that what they were telling me was abject lies. You know, no, it's okay, you're breastfeeding, the antibodies won't go into your breast milk, or any of this pure lies. I don't know whether the doctor herself understood that she was lying or not, but amounts to the same thing. And you do have to be strong. You know, I just very calmly, thank you very much for your concern. said without sarcasm, but this is not something I wish to avail myself of. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, so it, I'm not saying it's easy to do this,
no.
but nothing worthwhile really pretty much is.
Yeah.
And actually, it's much more difficult to clean up after you've made a mess than it is to not create a mess in the first place. And every time you do stand up, you feel amazing because you're in your power, you're in your joy, you're in your love, and you know that you are being of profound compassion, because every time one of us says no to something that's poisonous or toxic, that's ruining our human society, then we're also assisting everybody else. We're playing our part.
Mm.
And that feels great.
That feels great, yeah.
And we're protecting our children.
Yeah.
Which is what parents are supposed to be doing.
So would you say in those moments, I guess, in those moments, how would we react? Is it a question of really just listening to that inner joy, inner knowing? What about doing also, like you mentioned, research, you know, doing our research on the topic? Like, for example, say someone is exactly the same example as you, just given birth, and they come in, you know, with offering medication, vaccines, and someone hasn't done their research, then it can be a lot harder, I think, to follow that inner knowing.
Yes.
Right? So how, yeah, I don't know if there's really a question in this, but...
Well, perhaps a way of looking at it is that if you're able to stop being me, 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 and, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Superior for long enough, then your focus will be on what's best for your child, to use this analogy.
Yeah.
And you'll be aware, because you'll have gone to antenatal classes of some sort and description, and you'll have a broad understanding of what it is they're going to start hitting you with. And then you can go away and do your research or talk to people who you know have taken a different route from that of the standard. If you are completely isolated, then it will be a question of more than likely going online.
Yeah.
But although there is still access to some decent research libraries, which you can also access online, so that might be easier. But the reality also is that once you open up to, I want to understand what it is that I'm going to be offered and be able to make a conscious decision on what's going to serve my child and what's not, once you are with that, you will find knowledge rather than just information coming to you. Because, of course, that's what you've opened up to. You'll bump into somebody in the street, or you'll be flicking online at a site that you go to quite often, and something will pop up and you'll just be drawn there.
Yeah.
So this is how I found out. This is how I found out. I remember once being drawn to go into this Oxfam shop. I was, about 5 months pregnant, I think. And I just thought, oh, I really have to go into this Oxfam shop. Okay, so in I went. And then you must look at these books. Okay. And then you must look at this book. And it was a really horrible puce pink colour. You know, and I literally was doing this, sort of dragging my hand towards it and then pulling it away because it was such a hideous colour. So I got over myself and pulled it out. And it was herbs for... pregnancy and childbirth, which is what I had been wanting to do, because I was very clear that I didn't want to have any drugs of any description. And here was this knowledge. Plus, it turned out I managed to track down the author who was practicing about an hour's drive away from me. And so I went to see her a couple of times before I gave birth.
Yeah.
And I did have a very quick birth, 3.5 hours. It was extremely intense. 1 minute contractions, 1 minute off, another minute contraction, 1 minute off. But it was 3.5 hours and then it was done. And the moment that I also opened up to, somebody said to me, what are you going to do about vaccinations? And I hadn't really thought about it. Then I kept bumping into people who used homeopathy as a prophylactic, or who had this understanding, and then I started looking at what goes into these so-called products. And I knew enough from research that I'd done before and other topics, just I couldn't believe the levels of mercury and aluminium.
Mm.
It was a bit way above any safe levels.
Mm.
And then I started looking at whether vaccines have ever worked in any way, shape or form, and of course became aware that vaccines were introduced just after hygiene practices had been introduced into the industrial workforce areas in industrialized Europe. And so, of course, these childhood diseases dramatically reduced because it was poor hygiene and poor living conditions and poor nutrition that was causing them. So the entire industry, yet again, just hijacked something that was not of their own making and have been using that ever since as evidence, so-called evidence, that their product works.
Mm.
Well, this is a crime against humanity, and I will not be part of it.
Mm.
And it's not difficult to find out. If you are open to being able to get over yourself enough to put your control mechanisms on the back burner and get with what is best for your child, what is best for us all.
For humanity and the collective.
Yeah. What is best for us all, because whatever is best, whatever serves all, will serve the all of you. Because you are the all.
Mm.
So find out, connect with, be open to what serves the all, and then you serve the all of you. It's actually really easy. Once we get out of our heads having to control everything. But control just makes us sick on every level. And it's the antidote to joy. Right?
Mm.
So there's the motivation, I thought. Plus you're keeping your children safe. You're keeping all the world's children safe. And you save a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because these poisons are actually very expensive. You can put your money to serve something else. But we can't complain about what's going on the wider world if we are not doing everything that we know how to make sure that we are not a part of it, that we are not sustaining it.
Yeah, which involves research, doesn't it, from what you're sharing?
It involves, for me, it's if you just are willing to open yourself up and just maybe you say to yourself, okay, so if I was serving the all, what would I know? What would I understand? What knowledge would then be presented to me? And then you can take it from there.
Yeah. Great. Because I've had this experience with the animals, you know, a dog and a cat.
Yes.
And, we've kind of gone down the road of the vaccination because it just felt, not just felt, because I didn't have this mechanism.
Yes.
Of going, okay, what is it, you know, what is really right? Or something inside was like, this is not entirely right, but I didn't have the courage, I guess, to go against what my partner was saying, what the vet was saying, you know, there was the whole...
There's a lot of pressure. Conform, conform, conform. Because if you don't conform, then I'm going to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when we allow ourselves to feel that we have a responsibility for how another is experiencing their own well-being, then we will be susceptible to that.
Mm.
But once we take ourselves out of that rather self-absorbed loop of, I actually have the power to be responsible and can affect the outcomes for somebody else, once we get how ludicrous that is, and we realise, it's not my job to make you feel better, it's yours. And if I step in and attempt to do that, I'm just taking you out of you ever getting to that point of understanding and awareness.
Yeah.
And I'm just involving myself in this control game that's going on. So once you do that, then the pressure from other people just simply vanishes, doesn't it? Because it's, okay, this is not something you want to do, so you don't do it then. But this is something that I'm going to do, and I will do that. And if it makes you feel so uncomfortable that you don't wish to be my friend, lover, partner, anymore, then I quite understand. You know, of course, you're free to go. You are a being. You have free choice. We all have free choice. But most of us aren't willing to allow that to happen.
Mm.
So then that's another reason why we don't stand up and make what is called the courageous decision. But actually, it's not courage in the way that we understand or have been taught that courage is, because when you are of your profound compassion, you are naturally and effortlessly courageous. When you are of your compassion, you can feel, to use your example, vaccinating these animals is not in their best interest. So I'm just, that's it, it's not happening, because it's not in their best interest.
Yeah.
And I will, you know, defend them,
them
being the helpless animal.
Yeah.
I will make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And is that an act of courage? You know, I don't wish to split hairs, but yes, okay, it is an act of courage as we understand it. But more than that, it's actually an act of profound compassion.
Yeah.
And that is why you're able to do it, because that is your connection with your own profound compassion.
Yeah. And from the outside, from another perspective, it might look like courage, but from inside it's, as you say, compassion and knowing and resonance. And
well, it's profound compassion.
Profound compassion, yeah.
Profound compassion generates courage.
Yeah.
There is no courage without profound compassion. Mm. There might be bravery, which for me is something else entirely, like, let's run up to the top of Mount Everest. You know, okay, that's very brave. I don't regard it as being very brave, actually. It's just, look, if that's what you want to do, then go ahead and do it. And certainly they're not behaving in a particularly good way. We hear all the time, don't we, how climbers are trampling over each other and leaving each other to die in this pointless pursuit of what?
Yeah.
Self-importance.
Yeah.
You know, the me.
Yeah,
oh, look,
true.
I did this. Because what's it achieved? Does it make you feel good about yourself? Well, yeah, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And so they can be regarded as brave. I don't think that's brave. I think bravery would be you're nearly at the summit and one or two people are not having a good time below you, and you sacrifice that to bring them down and look after them and save their lives or be involved in that.
Mm.
That's bravery.
Mm.
But as long as there's this deliberate distortion, of course, because it is a deliberate distortion, because it's really easy to get humanity to start acting like idiots and to continue to be completely oblivious of the power that they have, which of course is the whole intention. Let's make it as hard as we can for humanity to be able to connect with their profound power, their profound compassion, their profound love. Because if we can get them to not connect with that, then we've got them, and then we can control them. And that's exactly what's happening. And the authoritarian states are getting stronger and stronger and more authoritarian, more totalitarian. And at the same time, they're trying desperately hard to make it more and more difficult for us to access profound healing in any way, shape or form.
Mm.
But that's all our fault, actually. That's because we have allowed it. We have allowed this. Instead of seeing these beings of ill will, shall we say, as providing us for giving us an opportunity to enter into a profound healing state and simply not follow this. Instead of seeing it like that, we just go immediately into the panic of me, and start doing everything we can to protect ourselves, to not bring attention, to not call attention to ourselves. And I can never remember the quote because I'm rubbish at remembering quotes, but it was something that was said in Nazi Germany. You know, and it's sort of, they came for the gypsies and you did nothing. You know, then they came for the homosexuals and you did nothing. And then they came for the Jews and you did nothing. And then they came for the intellectuals and you did nothing. And when they come for you, who's going to be left to stand for you? Well, that applies.
Yeah.
But the irony, the horrible irony, the agony of this irony is that when we are of our profound compassion and we're entering into our courage and our well-being of our love and service for all, because we are for all, it's easy, effortless and joyless. That's the irony, that being that is easy, effortless and joyful.
Mm.
And when we're not that, it feels like shit, because it is shit.
Mm.
So we're fighting against feeling really fabulous all the time. What an irony, eh?
To stay in our
pain and
in
contraction.
Our addiction of ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
To stay, as we call it, in our minds, safe.
Yeah.
Better not attract too much attention.
Yeah.
Let's be safe and be really, really small and go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir.
Yeah.
And then people wonder why they feel like shit and they're so depressed all the time.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing, that not being of who you are and of your power in the face of this huge ill will energy. That's the worst of it for me, because it makes you feel like shit.
Mm.
But until you're prepared to take responsibility for how you're feeling yourself, rather than blaming it on this industry or that sensation or that experience or whatever's going on here, then you will always feel like that.
Yeah.
And then you get, this is the irony, of course, you get people fighting to stay in that state. They will fight to stay sick, to stay powerless.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of energy in that, in staying small.
Yes, suppress. And of course, whenever you're suppressing your energy being infinitely more powerful than anything your mind can come up with, it will start to show itself and present itself in all sorts of unpleasant experiences for you, the number one being depression. Depression is a suppression of a part or parts of yourself. That's all it is.
Depressed, yeah. Yes. Makes sense, even in the word. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. It can be very simple to help people release their depression, because that's actually all that I'm doing, you know, is help them to cease the suppression. Then all of a sudden they're not depressed anymore. Well, of course not. Because they're in their state of joy and love. And does that mean that they'll always escape experiences which aren't exactly a walk in the park? No. But you've already pre-chosen your experiences anyway, and these experiences are the straw for you to turn into gold, should you have the compassion for yourself and everybody else enough to actually take responsibility for that. Right? So you sail along. And then sometimes there's a rock or a gunboat that comes out. If you're prepared to deal with that, you can just glide right past it. Right? There'll be the energy of that experience, but you're all the time turning that into a gold. All of these experiences are gifts. And if you are not... Because I know this is something that a lot of people feel, that, well, what if, you know, I get an experience that I just can't manage? Know, that it's too much, it's too overwhelming for me. And of course, you know, you're a self-regulating organism. There is no way that you are going to be involved in creating an experience for yourself that you're not able to deal with, because that's self-defeating. It's just, there's no sense. And whatever else the cosmos might be, it's not stupid. You know, it works on very profound, sensible, pragmatic principles.
Yeah.
It has no interest in you destroying yourself.
Yeah.
There's always a way. The more straw you have, the more shit experiences you have, the more gold you can create for yourself and for everybody else. So there's nothing... This is why, for me, fear, it's a non-existent state. You know, it's something we've been told that we must experience because we have no control. And, of course, it's not really fear that we're experiencing, it's panic. Because we feel out of control. Well, because we are. Because we can't control. We can only take charge of ourselves. And that's all we can take charge of. But fear, for me, when we have that, you know, people then say, well, but I feel this in my body. And what they're really feeling is their energy saying, further expansion and response. That's what their body's saying to them. Further expansion and response. That's what your energy wants you to do.
Expand,
open up, and then you can re-spend your energy rather than react from it. That's all it is. It's a signal. But because we've gone into our head first rather than feeling in our body, we misinterpret it.
Yeah.
But if you go into your body first, you'll feel something. And quite often, what people are mislabeling fear is actually excitement. It's like,
expansion.
Okay, action stations.
Yeah.
What should we do? But of course that gets missed because it's straight into the head and, and I can't control anything, therefore I must go into a state of fear.
And I can't control this excitement because you can't control that. It's an energy that's vibrating.
Well, they're not even aware that they're experiencing excitement, are they? They're just, and then of course then it gets labelled in their mind as whatever it does.
Yeah.
You know, something awful. And so guess what? Your body, because that's the only place that energy can go to now, and it's come out of your head, your body then reacts accordingly. Right? And you start hyperventilating or running around screaming like a banshee or whatever it is.
Or avoiding
that
and
you
leaving.
Do. Yeah. Yes, or running away.
Yeah.
Because that's what you've just informed your energy of.
Yeah.
And then that's when then people say, yeah, but I really do feel it. And they start justifying what they've put into their body with their mind. They start justifying it by saying, but that's actually what my body is experiencing. No, it isn't. Because you've just gone straight into your head, which, you know, let's face it, that's what we've been taught to do. But that's also why it's really important that we just cease doing that and go into your energy first. It takes time and it takes practice.
Yeah.
The rewards are immeasurable.
Maybe that's a good thing to finish on. If there's one practice or one way of actually doing that, what would you suggest?
If it was just going to be one, so you're on this desert island, and you can only take one healing practice with you.
Desert island healing practice.
So we'll leave aside the fact that that's just nonsense.
Okay.
For the sake of argument. Yes, exactly. For the sake of argument, that's completely sane. Let's go with that. So to connect with the soul energy.
Mm.
So for anybody who's interested, you can start off by breathing, you know, into your belly, and start off by inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your mouth, and just feel yourself sinking into whatever it is you're sitting or lying on.
Yeah.
And there's all this information on the site, by the way. People can go straight there and hear all the recordings, livingasyoursoul.com.
Perfect.
And then once you feel that your breathing is effortless, no need to inflate the lungs, just into your belly, then inhale and exhale through your nose. And then again, when that feels effortless, you can feel yourself just sort of drifting a little. You're so relaxed and so peaceful. Then if you take your attention to your belly button, to your navel, and just take it to a spot about 2 centimeters or an inch below your navel, and just be with that area. And then just allow yourself to have an awareness or a sense or a feeling or a knowing of the energy of your soul beginning to emanate out from this, your soul connection point. Now, of course, the energy of your soul still remains within you, but it can also emanate from you. So you just allow this energy to emanate out. And your soul connection energy is a sort of, it's a creamy whitish energy. Of course, it'll all be, you know, very slightly different for each and every individual person, but fundamentally, if you're that's what you're seeing or experiencing or feeling, then that's your soul connection energy or your soul energy. And you allow that to emanate out, and then you allow your soul energy to completely surround you, sort of a bit like an egg. You know, so you're completely surrounded with your soul energy whilst your soul energy is also completely present within you. And then when you can experience that being surrounded, then you can feel your soul energy. You can feel how safe you feel, how comfortable you feel, how loved you feel. And you can also then, of course, communicate with this energy. And you can run things past this energy. You know, what would this be like? Is that a good idea? And in time, it can be very quick, can be less quick, it doesn't matter, time does not matter, for it's not the length, 'tis love, 'tis love, 'tis love. Quoting my own poetry now, that's probably not a cool thing to do, but it always comes to me whenever I talk about time. You will start to be able to have a profound connection with the energy of your soul.
Mm, beautiful.
And that's, of course, a very powerful way you can go there. Leave your head alone. Your poor mind. I mean, oh, God, are they so overworked? Just leave it alone. It's an organ of action, the mind. Your soul is the energy of understanding. So you can connect with the energy of your soul. You'll then start to feel the effects of that in your body. And then you can go to your mind and give it an instruction. This is what we're going to do. This is the action we're going to take. And then you feel the effects of that in your body. And now you're in your love or your soul pattern of reality, which, of course, massively benefits you on every level of your life and experience, and massively benefits everybody else and our planet. And if you are doing that, then thank you. Thank you for giving the gift of your power, the power of your love to us all.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Kim. It's been a pleasure, really, listening to you.
Thank you too. Great pleasure for me as well.